Okay, we are up to Perek Esrim V'Arba, the 24th chapter of Sha'ar Sheni. And Baruch Hashem, we're getting close to the conclusion of the second Sha'ar. Next week is the chapter 25, and that is actually, technically speaking, the last chapter. There's an afterword that comes even after that, but that's not really Rav Olbi. It's him kind of cutting and pasting something from Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, which is interesting, but we'll probably skip it. So we're really coming close to having completed Sha'ar Sheni of Ali Shor, which is really a wonderful accomplishment. And today's chapter is a very, very interesting one. It's all about kavod. And usually when we think of kavod in a Musar context, we assume that the message would be something about how kavod is bad, we shouldn't be running after kavod, etc. And while I'm sure that is actually true, and Rav Olbi would agree to that in principle, but that's actually not the purpose of this piece. And in that sense, it's, I think, somewhat surprising, a little bit of a paradigm shift, and in many ways, very, very enlightening and very, very important. He begins based on a long citation, and therefore, for sake of time, we'll only paraphrase it, from the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph. There the Gemara is discussing who are the people who are so problematic that they forfeit Olam Haba. Elu hein she'ein lehem chiluk Olam Haba. And the first big category the Gemara gives is based on a person who denies the divinity of Torah. Ha'omer Ein Torah min ha'shamayim. And the Gemara, in its continuation, offers various other versions of this, each time being, if you will, in a certain sense, stricter and stricter. So the Gemara says by the end, it doesn't just mean someone who denies the entire Torah was divinely written, but even someone who says, Kol Torah kula min ha-shamayim chutz mi posuk zeh, even if you just deny one posuk, or even if you deny one diktuk, even if you deny one kal v'chomer, even if you deny one gzer shava, any little detail, anything that we believe to be midaraisa, if a person denies any of that, that is the first category of someone who says Torah is not min ha-shamayim and therefore loses chelik olam haba. A second thing mentioned in the Gemara is an apikores. But the context, as Rav Olbi will go on to explain, is that there's different opinions, but basically the version of the apikores that we're describing here is someone who is mevaze a talmud chacham. And the third category, says the Gemara, is hamalbin pnei chaver barabim, someone who embarrasses another person in public, also loses his chelik olam haba. So we have all three of these examples, and the pasuk, which is repeated a few times in the Gemara, which is the source for all of it, is in Bamidbar, Perek Tezvav, pasuk Lamed Aleph, Ki Davar Hashem Baza, Mitzvaso Hefer. If a person is Mevazeh, he disrespects, he's slanderous, or I guess the rest, really the best word is just disrespectful, of Torah, of Dvar Hashem, then that is the one who is Hachres Tachares, who loses his Olam Haba. Okay, that's basically the paraphrase of this lengthy citation of the Gemara. So picking up in the second paragraph, says Rav Olbi, mitbarer mizeh, what do we see from this? Ki ibur hachelek olam haba, na'utz bebizayon shel dvar Hashem. That when you lose your olam haba, it fundamentally, that is anchored in, that is linked to a bizayon, can say a disrespect of dvar Hashem. Ha'omer Torah min ha-shamayim, lo michoser emuna nagubo. Right, and he says, you might have thought, and I admit, I probably also thought initially, what is the real problem? Let's say someone says, I don't believe that all of Torah is from Hashemayim. So you would have thought that that's a chisaron in Amunah. But says Rav Olbi, the context in this Gemara and the continuation, it's not about Amunah. You believe in Hashem, but which is, I guess, the way he usually he's defining Amunah here. But rather, as he puts it, it's not so much Amunah as rather, Hapagia b'kavod HaTorah. Person doesn't show the proper respect by denying some, let alone all of the Torah coming from Shamayim, that is a pegia, that is a compromise, a slander in the honor of the Torah. You're not showing the proper respect for the Torah. As he puts it in the conclusion of the paragraph, where he talks about the different opinions about what constitutes being a mevaza talmud chacham, so says Rav Olbi ha-machlokes, there's different opinions, but it's really a technical one. It's rak b'shi'ur ha-pegia b'kvod ha-talmud chacham. It's just a question of the extent to which your disrespect for the talmud chacham would make you lose olam haba. But everyone agrees, wherever you draw the line, l'kuli alma chetu hu ha-pegia before Talmud Chacham. So just like he's saying, it is the pegia in Kvod HaTorah, you're being mezalzel, mevazeh, disrespecting Kvod HaTorah if you say it's not written by Hashem, it's not divine, and if you are similarly doing so by being mevazeh Talmud Chacham. And the third example in the Gemara, Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim, On the one hand, that's an anaf, he says, of shvichos damim, next paragraph. That is a subset of murder. We know the Gemara famously says that it compares a person who embarrasses someone else in public to someone who kills them. The blood drains from his face. It's a kind of form of death. And yet, says Revolbi, something fascinating. Harotzeach nerag bebezdin v'yesh lo chelek b'olam haba. It's true that we treat murder very seriously. It's a capital offense. The Bezdin will kill him if there's proper witnesses, etc. But nevertheless, he says, we don't find any source that says that the murderer loses his olam haba. Yes, he'll get punished harshly in this world, and we can assume that he may be in for a lengthy stay in Gehenim. His neshama has to be burned crispy, so to speak, in order to purify it so that it's ready for olam haba. But fundamentally, there is a process of purification, of rectification, of atonement, and that person eventually can get olam haba. So even though he murdered and his punishment is severe, it's not as severe as someone who embarrasses someone. Despite that fact, hamal panim eino nota chaye chavero el kvodo ubaadze hu ne'anash olam haba shelo. Says Revolbi, something fascinating. It's a paradox, but it's something that we have to identify and now understand. The murderer takes away someone else's life, and therefore his life is forfeited, but eventually he can redeem himself and get olam haba. If you embarrass someone in public, you haven't taken away their life, but you've taken away their dignity, their personal kavod. And as a result, the punishment is not losing your life, but losing something that would be special for your neshama, losing your olam haba. In a certain sense, that is worse than taking someone else's life, and therefore the punishment is losing your olam haba. What emerges from all of this analysis, says Revolbi, is the following last line of this paragraph. Inyan mufla ze tzarech iyun ubiur. Lama davka pogeb kovar Torah, or of a Talmud Chacham, or of a regular person, ein lo chelek b'olam haba. Based on this analysis of Revolbi, the way Revolbi has deconstructed and analyzed and explained this Gemara, the common theme is that, and what emerges from all three cases is, a lack of respect or an active disrespect of something deserving of respect, Hashem, Talmid Chachamim, or even just basic human dignity. And in all those cases, because of that, what's considered the appropriate and fitting punishment is for the person to lose their chelek in Olam Haba. That is what clearly emerges from the Gemara, but that doesn't make it, the fact that it's clear to us, doesn't make it necessarily less confusing. Why should that be? Lama dafka hapogeya b'kovara Torah is losing chelek Olam Haba. Why is that considered specifically the appropriate punishment? So based on this, says Revolbi, last paragraph of the page, Na'amod Kan Bezrat Hashem Adavar Gadol. This, we have to really understand a very important point. Hanashama Nikreit Kavod. Somewhat surprising, but as he'll show in a moment, it's an explicit pasuk. The Neshama itself is called Kavod. Where? How? The pasuk in Tehillim, which we all know, says, Laman Yizamercha Kavod V'lo Yidom. In order that what? Kavod, meaning my soul, that's how it's translated. What's the intent of the pasuk? That my soul should, Yizamercha, should sing to Hashem, praises of Hashem. So here we see the Torah using the Navi, Tehillim, David HaMelech, using the term kavod as a substitute for a person's neshama. Hare mahutal shah neshama says Revolbi, he kavod. We see from this pasuk in Tehillim that the essence of the neshama is kavod. Now what does that mean? Usually we think of kavod again as usually in a bad context. Don't run after kavod. Here we're saying that the neshama's essence is kavod. So Rabbi explains, next line, Tachlis yitziras ha'adam, laharbos kvod shamayim ba'ulam. It's not about looking for your own kavod. That's not the essence of your soul. But rather the essence of the soul is, why are we created? In order to be able to detect, properly recognize, and therefore praise, and hopefully even expand upon Hashem's kavod in this world. The nature of our soul is, it is intended to be a kavod shamayim, identifying, kind of like a metal detector. You know, see those people looking in the park, looking for old nickels or old coins. So our neshama is that kind of soul detector. We're looking for things that are divine and worthy of respect. And it's our neshama that is created in order to be able to detect those things. As the pasuk says in the Navi Yeshaya, "Kol nikra b'shmi ulichvodi barativ yitzrativ af asativ." Everything, says Hashem through the Navi, that I did, that I created, that I made, it's all lichvodi barati. I did it in order to be able to be marbe kvod shamayim in this world. How far do we go with that? So, turning over the page, there's a lengthy citation from Rabbeinu Yonah in the Sharei Tshuva. But the upshot of that, if you look at the last line, Revolbi summarizes, is Hare kvod Hashem tzarech lehiraot al kol tnuah u'mabat b'chol hanaga u'pula. And as the pasuk says at the end of Koheles, zeh kol ha'adam. So this is not just a random thing or a periodic thing, an episodic thing, but something that we're supposed to be doing at all times with every aspect of our physical and spiritual body and life, is looking for and identifying things deserving of kavod, of kvod shemayim in this world. Next paragraph. Kavod, and here is really, even though we paraphrased a lot until now, it's because I wanted to have enough time to get to the next two paragraphs inside, because I think these are two key paragraphs of the whole piece. Kavod, he says, Eino inyan shel nimus v'derech eretz. And I'll add, not only. Says Rav Volbi, kavod is not merely polite, good manners. Menschlichkeit derech eretz. If we were raised right, if we had good parents, so then we know that you're supposed to show and respect other people, be polite, be appreciative, say please, say thank you, treat people with respect. That's good manners, it's polite, it's derech eretz. It says Rav Volbi, it's not only that. It's much more even. Hakara v'gilui ma'alat hadavar. What a key line. The essence of giving kavod to other people is the recognition and the ability to reveal the value in something. Right? A person has value, but it's not necessarily evident. By me being mechabed them, that shows that I recognize, and I'm, by my actions, I am publicizing to others in turn, that there is a maila here. There is something worthy of respect and honor. Kishani mechabed adam, if I honor a person, hinani megale et ma'alatov v'chashivuto la'in kol. If I honor somebody, I am showing everyone, even if they may not have known it on their own, that this person has something that is worthy of respect, and by my respect, I am publicizing that. Hinani makir megale el lukuto, and if and when I honor Hashem, I'm doing the same thing. I'm recognizing there's divinity, there's a spark of the divine in this thing, in this way, and therefore Hashem is deserving of respect. Torateinu hakadosha eina mechayevet otonu hakara mufshetet philosophit. Right? Our Torah does not require of us, what halacha does not require of us, is more abstract philosophizing about Hashem, but rather kavod. And kavod here, this is a theme we've seen throughout the Sefer, it's very, very practical. Excuse me. The definition of kavod is the recognition and then acting on that recognition of the greatness of Hashem. Belev ubma'aseh, to recognize and to reveal Hashem's presence in this world. That is the essence and the nature of kavod. Whether it's giving it to Hashem, giving it to the Torah or a Talmud Chacham, or just giving it to any human being based on their human dignity. How can we do this? What gives us the power to identify what deserves respect? Ubekoach ma, asks Rav Volbi, anachnu yicholim lechabed. What in us allows us to do that? Says Rav Volbi, the answer is simple. Bekoach haneshama, shehi, hi, metziut shel kavod, zuhi, pulato haikarit. Lechabed, legalot, rahumut habore, rahumut haadam, Ramut HaTorah v'hatam chacham. What a sentence. Wow. What a way to end this paragraph. Says Rav Volbi, we were implanted in our physical bodies is the neshama. And our neshama, when it is operating at full strength, is a soul-seeking, soul, S-O-U-L, soul-identifying essence. Right? It's, if you know, sometimes we fushmutz our neshama and it's covered with caked-on dirt. We don't have a good, we can really dampen it. And the point is, you can't even almost see. It's completely covered. It's like when you have, no cell service. You got one bar or half a bar, right? But if you got four bars, if your neshama is really working in a good, strong, clear way, it is empowered. It is built, so to speak, to recognize in kind. It is the neshama itself is a spiritual thing, and it is naturally attracted to and can identify other spiritual things deserving of respect, assuming that we haven't fashmutzed with the caked on dirt of our sin, our neshama. But our neshama, in its healthiest way, when it's working at four bars, it can identify other similar in kind sources of spirituality, other things deserving of respect. And therefore, said Rav Volbi, the whole essence of the neshama, why it's implanted in us, is to give us the ability to identify and therefore then to honor and to praise, whether it's the greatness of Hashem, the greatness of Torah and the Talmud Chacham, or just Rom Musa Adam, the greatness and the basic dignity of every human being. I'm not saying that Rav Volbi is, I don't think he's saying that all three of these are equal. Hashem is the greatest, Torah and then the basic human being, but still, the fact that he includes all of them with parallel language in one sentence is certainly very, very a striking statement by Ravolbi. Let's do one more paragraph at least inside. Harizuhi avodasa upulaso shel haneshama ba'olam. Now the upshot is, what is the purpose of the neshama in this world? Leromeim ulechabed ezuhu mechubad. This is all encompassed in that beautiful seeming riddle of Mishnah and Perkei Avos, which Rav Olbi says we now understand in a beautiful and profound way. The Mishnah had said, who is honorable? Anyone who honors other people. What does that mean? So says Rav Olbi, in light of what we've seen, it's perfect. If you see a person showing respect to other people, that shows that he can identify, he recognizes and is willing to reveal by publicizing, by treating that other person with respect, the mila, the value that each and every person has. And by so doing, that itself is an indicator, ro'im, shenishmato pu'olet, po'elet v'chayelet, bi'kirbo. By the very fact that you are showing respect to other people, that indicates not only that they're deserving of respect, that's the first and primary reason, but it's also a boomerang. By you being able to show that by you respecting other people and properly identifying who's deserving of respect, that reflects back and boomerangs back onto you, and it shows that your neshama is working the way it should. It's got four bars. V'hi atzma mechubad, and therefore you yourself are deserving of respect. By you respecting other people, by you showing the respect for Torah, for human dignity, for Talmid Chachamim, for Hashem, that shows that you have a neshama that is pulsating and that is living in a healthy way inside of you. Hence, you know how to identify and properly relate to and respect other things worthy of respect. And that in turn shows that you are deserving of your own respect because your neshama is working in the right way. By your neshama identifying, revealing, and respecting other people, it shows that you have a neshama that itself is worthy of respect. But you honoring other people, by mechabed es abrios, that makes you yourself mechubad. Beautiful, beautiful. Ora eino meir lo. Excuse me. Hamazalzel, but the opposite, excuse me. Hamazalzel, hamaktin, umachapes mumim, eino nosin l'neshmaso lif'ol bekirbo. Ora eino meir lo, vu'atzmo eino mechubad. What a line. There are other people who are not like this. They're not looking to see the good in other people, to be mechabed what's good in other people. Rather, they're mezalzel, they're always denigrating. Anything good, they make fun of. Umaktin, they make it small. Something that looks big, it's nothing. Umechapes momim, they're always looking to find the bad. I think I may have said this once in a previous shiur, perhaps in this context, that I heard this from the Tolna Rebbe. It was on YouTube. And I've never been able to find it since. I would like to see it again. But I remember seeing at the time that the Rav Tolna Rebbe was in Los Angeles, and he has an okay English. He was speaking pretty much in English, if I remember correctly. And he was talking about Parshas Pinchas. He was saying that true, genuine kanaos is when a person sees something, unfortunately, bad, and realizes he has no choice but to do something extreme to eradicate the bad. And that's why it says about Pinchas, V'yikach romach, he felt the need. He saw something that was a necessity, a need. He took up a spear and he waged battle in an extreme way for the honor of Hashem. But said the Tolna Rebbe, so powerfully I remember, he said that there's other people who don't walk around looking for the good, and Nebuch, if they see the bad, they have to pick up the spear. Rather, they wake up in the morning and the spears are ready in their hands. Who can I shech today? Of course, it's not for my honor, it's not for my power, it's not for my ego. I'm doing it only for Hashem. But they're not the people who are vayikach romach after they see the bad thing. They have that spear in their hand all the time. They wake up with the spear. They might, for all I know, sleep with the spear. They are ready to slay anybody. Oh yeah, and it's for Hashem. That's not true kanos. That's a person who, if I can now interpolate both Rav Olbi back into that idea, those are the people that Rav Olbi is calling who are innately looking to be mazalzal, to be maktin, to be chapes mumim. There are people who are, they're looking for who they can passel. They wake up in the morning, who can I say is treif today? That is not the kind of person that is deserving of respect, says Rav Olbi here. That is not a mechabed es abrios, is mechubad. That is just the opposite. And how do we get to be this right person? How do we get to be this person who is doing the right thing? As I said, with a healthy neshama. A person who is mezalzel, maktin, umechapes mumim, that is a sign that his neshama is not working in a healthy and an ideal way. What is the mitzvah of mechubad, says Rav Olbi? Kolomar, neshmato shel adam zeh, mechabedet oto. The very fact that you're showing proper honor to other people who are deserving of respect, that itself reflects well on you. V'hu zoch l'romamos v'sa'alus atzmit, megale b'kirbo or eloki, mitararet bo midot tovot ha'umiviot l'mesim tovim, me'iros lo asagot amitiyot. And then this in turn, it's like a cycle for good. It's very circular, but it keeps on working and generate. The more you see, the more, you know, so to speak, your neshama is working in the right way, the more good things you can do, the more honor you'll deserve, the more you'll see good in other people, etc., etc. And I'll just, for the sake of time, just paraphrase the conclusion of the piece. And in light of all this, now, says Rav Abba, we can go back to the Gemara that we started with. Why is it that a person who does not show the proper kavod to the Torah, or to people, or to Minach HaChamim, ein lo chelek olam haba, something even that murderers, for example, are not punished by? So says Rav Abba, that's exactly the point. Because it's all midah kenegen midah. If you hurt other people, so to speak, in their body, if you sin with your body, then your body, if you will, you know, you need punishments in that regard. But the only way you can truly honor people is through your neshama, the spiritual life force, the soul inside of you, identifying and being attracted to and connected to, and therefore honoring other pulsating souls and spiritual forces. And therefore, if a person does not do that, they're mezalzel in the Torah, they're mevaza in the Talmid Chachamim, or Hashem, or other people, then midah keneged midah, just like you didn't show their proper respect, your neshama has to be denied its proper respect. And as the Gemara in Baba Basra says, Daf Ayin Hey, Rav Albi quotes this, that the essence of Olam Haba is where Hashem is being mechabed, the neshama, from this, based on how the neshama lived in this world. But, says Rav Albi, this is what you see from our Gemara that we began with, if a person is not being mechabed other people, then Hashem is not going to be mechabed his neshama. So we've come full circle. We asked, why is it that these three people are specifically given this uniquely harsh punishment of not having a chelek olam haba? And the answer in short, says Rav Albi, is because the purpose of being around in this world is to identify and be marbe and publicize things that are deserving of respect, be marbe kvod shamayim in this world. That is reflected in the Torah, Talmid Chachamim, and every human being who is B'tzel Malukim. And if a person, the way a person does that is with their neshama. And the way a person is usually rewarded is if by doing that, your neshama is given kavod in a boomerang kind of style in Olam Haba. But a person who does not do that, they're either Mevaza Hashem in the Torah, or Talmid Chachamim, or even other people in public, then by that sin of omission or commission, their neshama itself is not deserving of respect, and that was really what Olam Haba was about, giving the neshama its due respect. And therefore, if you didn't show other people that respect, then and you showed that your neshama was not working at full force, then it itself does not deserve any respect that would ordinarily be given as a reward in Olam Haba. Basically, we could sum up this whole thing in kind of a very simple aphorism, which is you can be definitely judged by who you honor. And the more you're a mechabed, the right kind of people, that in and of itself shows that you're deserving of honor. And if a person is not doing that, then it is a very bad reflection on yourself. All the best. Have a wonderful Shabbos. And Emir Tashem, next week, pick up with the last chapter in Shar Sheni.